Today we continue with our study of the Novi Zecharia with chapter 9, Perek Tes. At the very end of the previous Perek, we learnt about the Nevuah of a time when the nations of the world will look for the truth of God in Yerushalayim, and when they will grasp onto the Kenaf Ish Yehudi, they will grasp onto the skirts of the Jewish man, and they will say, "We want to go with you. We hear that God is with you." But this is a vision in which the search for God is directed to one place, and that is Yerushalayim. In Perek Tes, that vision expands. Maso devar Hashem bi'eretz chadroch. The burden, the weight, the reality, the realization of the word of God, bi'eretz chadroch, will take place in a land called Chadroch, which is a eretz rechoko ma'od, a very distant land. And the point is that the search for the Jew who can show mankind the light of God will not be contained to the city of Jerusalem, but rather even in the most distant countries, like in the country of Chadroch, there too they will look for a Jewish person and ask of him to teach them the ways of God. Vidamesek menuchoso, and the holy places will stretch all the way to Damascus. Until now, God's menucha is Yerushalayim, as the pasuk says, "Kilovosem ad ato el hamenucha." As the pasuk says, "Zos menuchos yadayat." Now, that menucha will not only be that resting place, that God's spiritual capital, will not only be Jerusalem, but it will extend all the way to Damascus. Because as the Novi Yecheskel prophesizes, in Yecheskel Perek Mem Zayin, the northern boundary of Eretz Yisrael will be Damascus. Ki Lashem ein Odom v'chol shiftei Yisrael. Which could mean, says the Malbim, one of two things. Either to God is the eye of man, everyone is searching for God, v'chol shiftei Yisrael, and so are the tribes of Israel searching for God. In other words, ki la'Hashem, number one, ein Adam, number two, v'chol shiftei Yisrael, both humankind and the Jewish people are both searching for God. Or it could mean, ki laHashem ein Adam ulechol shiftei Yisrael, that humanity is looking to God and to all the Jews. Vegam chamos tigbobo, even the land of Chamos will also be part of the boundary of Eretz Yisrael in the north. Vechein, tzor v'tzidon ki chochmo miyot, and even tzor, Tyre, and Sidon, Sidon, lands in the south of Lebanon, which are now Chochma Ma'od, very wise towns, they also will be part of this envisioned, expanded boundary of the Holy Land. That's in the north. And now, almost as if it was in parentheses, since we mentioned Tsor, the town of Tsor, the seacoast town of Tyre, T-Y-R-E, Vativen Tsor Mo Tsorlo. Tsor, in the times in the Vim, went through a period of great wealth and power. Then it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar totally. Then it was rebuilt. And then it was again destroyed by Alexander the Great, who built kind of a bridge from his ships in the sea onto the seacoast. So the Pasuk now says, Vativen Tzor Motzor Lo, even though the city of Tzor built a Motzor, built a reinforced fortress, Vatitzpor Kesef Keofor V'chorutz Kitit Chutzos, and even though at one time they were extremely wealthy, they had silver and gold like the streets, gold on the streets, a gold in the Medina. Hine Adono Yorisheno V'hiko V'yom Chelo V'hi Bo'esh Teochel. God will drive out. I'm sorry, Yorisheno here means the Malbim says, K'mo Hashem Morishu Ma'ashir. Hine Adono Yorisheno means the Ribbono Shel Olam will bring them down. As rich as they are, he will impoverish them. V'hiko V'yom Chelo. And in the sea, this is Alexander the Great coming from the sea to the sea coast of Lebanon and striking its army. And eventually it will be consumed in fire. This is Tzor. But not only Tzor in the north coastal area of Eretz Yisrael, north of the coastal area, but even the southern coastal area where the Pelishtim live, where ironically today is approximately the land of the Gaza Strip. Teira Ashkelon, the Sira, one of those seacoast towns then inhabited by Pelishtim, was Ashkelon, let her see and be afraid. V'Azov v'Sochil Miod, and so too the Pelishti city of Aza on the coast. V'Ekron, and the Pelishti city of Ekron, ki hovish meboto, it's also drying up, it's becoming wiped out. The Ovad Melech Me Azo will be bereft of a king, Azo will be stripped of its power. For Ashkelon lo se shave, and Ashkelon will be uninhabited. The Yoshav Mamzer be Ashdod, a bastard, a Mamzer, will be the ruler of Ashdod. The Hichrati Gaon Pelishtim, and I will strike down the glory, the power, the grandeur of the Pelishtim. V'his hasirosi damo mipiv, I will remove its blood from its mouth, meaning I will take revenge upon the Pelishtim. V'shikutsov mibein shinov, I will remove its abominations from between its teeth. V'nishar gamhu leloheinu, and even the cities of the Pelishtim will also be to our God. They will also be part of this envisioned, expanded Eretz Yisrael. But not only that, for Hoyoka Aluf B'Yehuda V'Ekron Kiyavusi, that these cities will be Ka'aluf B'Yehuda, meaning they will be part of Judah's territory. They will be part of the great cities of a renewed Eretz Yisrael. And Ekron will be like the Yavusi. The Yavusi were once the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, and then they were driven out, and Yerushalayim became the Makom Kadosh. So too will Ekron. V'chonisi levesi mitzovo me'overu mishov. I will see to it that my home will no longer have armies. Tzovo with a hey, Malbim says, it's like tzovo with an aleph. There will be no longer armies passing through it. There will no longer be oppressors invading it. This is what I have seen. So say the Meforshim, that Ki Ato Ro'isi V'Einoi says, I see with my eyes all of this happening, the downfall of Tzor and Sidon and Damasek and Ashkelon, Aza, Ashdod, Ekron, etc. The Malbim says that these words, Ki Ato Ro'isi V'Einoi, refer to the following vision. Now I see with my eyes the following vision. Gili mi'od bas Tzion. Tzion, be very happy. Hori bas Yerushalayim, rejoice the daughter of Yerushalayim. Hine Malkeich Yovoloch, your king is coming. This is your king Moshiach. Tzadik v'noshahu, he is righteous and he is inspired He is inspired with Yeshua. He is inspired with the message of redemption because of his righteousness. He is a poor man. He is not he is poor in the sense of modest, humble, not full of glory and arrogance and power, etc. That's not the Mashiach, but rather he is an Oni. And he is not riding on a horse, which would be a sign of power and military might, but rather Rochev al Chamor, he's riding on a donkey. Al Ayir, a young donkey, a colt, but C-O-L-T, but not one who is a horse's colt, a horse is a young horse, but rather Al Ayir ben Asonos. He is a young donkey, meaning the sign of humility. That's the sign of the Moshiach. V'hichrati rechev me'Ephraim. I will cut down chariots from Ephraim, meaning no more tanks, no more armies passing through their land. V'sus mirushalayim. No more horses in Jerusalem, meaning no more invaders, no more cavalry. V'nichreso keshes milchomo. The bow, B-O-W, of war will be broken, smashed. The weapons of war will be done away with. V'diber shalom lagoyim, and he will speak peace to the nations. U'mashlumi yom ad yom, and they will rule from sea to sea. U'me nohor ad afse oretz. From sea to sea means from the eastern sea to the western sea. U'me nohor, from the south at Afse Ores to the north. Then the pasuk continues, and the Navi says why the Jews will deserve such a great reward. And here we have the beautiful commentary of Malbim. Gam at bedam beriseich shilachti asirayich mibor ein mayim bo. And you, because of the blood of your covenant, I have freed your imprisoned ones from the pit in which there is no water. And the Malbim says that the way to read this is, Bidam beriseich ein mayim bo, because you kept the covenant of the blood, which can be the blood of circumcision, or can be the blood of Kiddush Hashem, of self-sacrifice. But you kept that covenant of the blood, and you did not submit to the other covenant, the covenant of water, meaning the covenant of baptism. You had a choice, and they told you seductively, why bleed? It's enough to be dipped in water, to be sprinkled with a little bit of water. This is the test of Christianity against the Jewish people. You don't need to be circumcised, you need to be baptized. But because at bedam beriseich you stuck to the covenant of blood, ein mayim bo, you did not yield to the water. Therefore, shilachti asirayich mibor. Therefore, I freed your prisoners from the pit of Golos. Shuvu levitzaron, return to the secure fortress. Asirei hatikfa, you who were imprisoned with hope, meaning who hoped so long for the Geula. Gam hayom magid mishne oshivloch. Even today, I will tell you not only today's good news, but double good news. Good news for today, and good news for the distant future. Because there are two besuros, two great outcomes, which are being prophesied. One is a more or less contemporary one from the point of view of Zechariah, and that is the victory of the Maccabim against the Greeks, the story of Hanukkah. That's the short-term Nevuah. The long-term Nevuah is the war of Gog and Magog, the future war to end all wars. And the Magid Mishnah are being telling you about two levels of history, immediate and long term. Kidorachti li Yehuda. I will pull the arrow. I will shoot the arrow for Yehuda. This is Yehuda meaning the Jewish people who will triumph over Yavon. That's number one. And number two, Keshes Mileisi Ephraim. I will fill the bow, the arrows, the weapons of Ephraim. That's talking about Ephraim. That's talking about the Aseres HaShrotim, who will return from long lost lands and who will wage the war of Gog and Magog. Ve'orarti vonayich Tzion al bonayich Yavon. And I will arouse your children, Tzion, over and against your children, Yavon. So the way the Malbim reads it, Ki dorachti li Yehuda, the first half, the first part of the first half of the Pasuk, is linked with the first half of the second part of the Pasuk. Ki dorachti li Yehuda v'yorarti v'onayich Tzion al v'onayich Yavon. That's talking about the relatively short-term nevuah of the Maccabim against Yavon. And then, as far as the Keshes Mileisi Ephraim, the second part of the first half of the Pasuk, you come to the second part of the second half of the Pasuk, V'samtich k'cherev gibor. The Malbim insists that the meaning of this is very, very interesting. There's a difference between the war of a keshes, the war of a bow and arrow, which is long-distance artillery, and the war of the cherev, which is hand-to-hand combat. Long-term artillery, this refers to something which is not obviously miraculous, and that is the war of the Maccabim against Yavon. That war, of course, it's Rabim, Miyad, Miyatim, etc. But nevertheless, it seems to be a regular war. You don't see any open miracles. So that's like the bow and arrow. And then Ephraim, that war will be Nes Galui, an open miracle. And that is symbolized not by the keshes, by the bow, but by the cherev, by the sword. And then we have a pasuk which is familiar to us from Rosh Hashanah. It's one of the psukim which is used in Shmona Esrei, one of the psukim used in the section of Shmona Esrei known as Shofros. And we have the pasuk, V'Hashem aleihem yiro'eh v'yotzoch haborok chitzo. God will appear upon them, and his arrow will come out like lightning. This, says the Malbim, refers to the Melchama of the Maccabim, when God is seen. But he's seen with like a keshes, like an arrow. And then the second half of the pasuk refers to the ultimate future geula, and that is Vashem Elokim b'shofor yisko, when God will blow with the sound of the shofar and bring everyone in from the arba kanfos ha'oretz. That's the Pasuk in Yeshaya v'hoya b'yom ahu yitok ha'b'shofar gadol uvo'u ha'ovdim b'eretz Ashur. That's being alluded to with this shofar yizkar, which brings back Ephraim, which brings them back Ayaseres HaShvotim from Ashur. V'holach b'saros temon, and they will go to war against Gog, because they will come up as a storm from the south to oppose the army of Gog coming from the north. Hashem Tzavokos Yogein Aleihem. God of hosts will protect them. They will not need to go to war. It will be an open gneis. Hashem Tzavokos Yogein Aleihem. And it will be so miraculous that V'ochlu V'chofshu Avnei Kela V'shosu Homu Kumo Yoyin. They will eat plentifully. They will capture the enemy's weapons, the enemy's cannonballs. And they will drink like you drink wine. Umalu kamizrok zovios mizbeach. They will have ultimate success, full of yayin. Vahoshiyom Hashem Elokeyem bayom ahu kitzonamo. God will save them on that day, as if they were his flock, his faithful sheep. Kiavne nezer misnosisos alat moso. So the Malbim learns pshat here that what this means is there's a thing called Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer means precious diamonds of the crown. And these people, these Aseres HaShvatim, who will be brought back from the four corners of the world, they will no longer be impressed by glitter and by gold, by Avnei Nezer, by glorious royal jewelry, but rather Avnei Nezer will be misnosis oth al admoso. That he will see that what grows from the earth, the simple bounty of the earth, the wheat, the barley, the grapes, the olives, that will be the Avnei Nezer. They don't need gems, because Avnei Nezer misnosis oth al admoso. Gems will be rising up from the earth. They will say, what good is all this beauty? Who needs all this stuff? It only looks beautiful. But what's really necessary are the basics. Dogon bachurim. So the bachurim, the young men, will speak with praise of dogon, of crops, of grain. Visirosh yinovei besulos. And young girls will speak in praise of tirosh, of grapes, of the simple foods of the earth. They will not need any more the luxurious Avnei Nezer. They will appreciate the bounty of the earth, misnosisos al admoso. So this is the vision of Zechariah here in Perek Tes. And now that we conclude Perek Tes, we've concluded chapter 9. Tomorrow, Mi'etz Hashem, we'll go on to continue with the prophecies of Zechariah in chapter 10. We finish chapter 9. Tomorrow we go on to chapter 10.